All right, this morning, if you'll turn in your Bible to page 1262, if you're using your pew Bible, this morning's text is from Acts chapter 8. Uncle Dave's got the reading for us today. It's Acts 8, verse 4 down to verse 12. So I encourage you to follow along in your Bible.
Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Okay, let's pray and thank God for his word. Lord God, we've heard what was written, and so we ask you, dear Father, through your Holy Spirit, that you would show us good things out of your word and cause us, Father, to be zealous to fulfill the same mission that we saw our early brothers and sisters set out upon. So we bless your name, Father, and thank you for our word, and pray for your Spirit's blessing today as we study in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so back in chapter 6, we had met these seven men who the church chose. We usually refer to these seven as the first deacons. As the number of disciples in Jerusalem began to take off, the caretaking responsibilities got to be too much for the apostles alone to handle. Specifically, you remember there was that daily distribution of food for the widows, and the apostles had the believers select seven men to oversee that ministry, men who were full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And among those seven was Stephen, whose story we followed up until last week when he was brutally put to death by the Sanhedrin for preaching Jesus. Now, our author, Luke, told us that Stephen was an excellent teacher of the gospel, full of faith and power, and that God used him to turn many to salvation, and the Lord did signs and wonders through him, and no one who disputed with him was able to overcome him. And we pointed out at the time that others besides the original 12 began to transmit the gospel. Now, the 12 apostles, of course, they have a very critically necessary ministry. They're the eyewitnesses. But we see that others also are perfectly capable of explaining Christ and teaching the truth about the kingdom of God convincingly, which we mentioned is important and by design, because the apostles can't be everywhere, and plus they're not going to live forever, so there have to be other teachers and preachers eventually who are able to preserve and pass on the saving gospel. And now, what with Stephen having just been killed and an all-out effort now being made to stamp out and disrupt the assembly of believers, our narrative, the focus of our narrative, now turns to another one of these seven, the original deacons, if you like, namely Philip. Verse 1 of this chapter said that all the believers were scattered from Jerusalem except the apostles, which actually fulfills the words that Stephen just died for saying, that God is not limited to a single location, right? God does not live in buildings built by men. Well, just so, the narrative now starts to move away from Jerusalem and out into other regions, And the temple, where the Christians had been meeting, the temple now fades into the background and becomes less and less important, proving just what Stephen had said, right? Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, where is the house that you'll build for me? Right? God is going to be building himself, his own house, for him to live in the hearts of men and women by his Holy Spirit. And so now we're going to follow Philip through two significant episodes, both of them very important steps in the history of the growth of the gospel, right? The building of that house. First, he goes to Samaria, about 35 miles away from Jerusalem. Before we get too deep, though, into the incident in Samaria, I want to point out that spreading the news about Jesus Christ is not limited to, not reserved for a special few. Right now, I said just a moment ago, there'd have to be other teachers and preachers besides the 12, but I don't want it to sound like only people with special qualifications ought to try this. Anyone who knows what the good news is and who has themselves laid hold of it is capable of spreading it. Okay, so you'll see how verse 4 says that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then the next verse says that Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. Now, look, even though the translators, at least for this version, used the same English word, preach, in both verses, they're really two different verbs. The first verb, the one in verse 4, describes the act of sharing good news. Have you heard? Did you hear? Right? Did you know? That kind of thing. They went everywhere, if you like, spreading the good news, right? Spreading the word of good news, bringing good news to the people. Whereas the verb in 5 is a little bit more formal, I suppose. It's something more like making a public announcement or a speech, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I have something I need to tell you all, something you need to hear. And that verb sometimes is translated proclaim or maybe herald or present, right? Philip went to Samaria and he proclaimed Christ to them, or he presented Christ to them. Now, what's important, though, is that all the believers are instrumental in spreading the news. John says, you all have an anointing. You all know the truth, right? Whoever has the Son of God has the testimony in himself, has the witness in himself, right? Whoever has the Son of God has the Holy Spirit, is capable of sharing the news. Now, the method might vary as far as how public it is, right? You know, open air preaching to an audience versus sort of personal interaction in homes or over the table, but the content is the same, which is what? Notice that it says the word, right? Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching or spreading the word. So that tells us it's something specific, isn't it? Right? They didn't just go around preaching. What are they preaching? Right? What news are they bringing to people? It's the word, right? There's a lot of people going everywhere today also preaching, but you know, most of them are hardly preaching what these early believers were preaching, right? You can go visit churches and hear all sorts of preaching, you know, visions, dreams, feelings, politics, prosperity, messages about, you know, everybody should be nice to each other and share, and, you know, kindness and tolerance and all kinds of stuff. Is that the Christian message, right? Was the Great Commission just go into the world and preach? Hey, no, is that what churches are supposed to do, just have some preaching? No, preaching what? Preaching the word, preaching the good news, right? It refers to something specific, something that they all understood and knew and had experienced together. So certain events, they could all say, I have knowledge of these facts. Have you heard about the things that were happening down in Jerusalem lately? Have you heard that Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead after being crucified? Yeah, the same Jesus who just a couple of years ago, or just for these last couple of years, has been going through Judea and teaching and healing people. And he's the Son of David. He's the Messiah. Right? God's coming kingdom, he's the king of it. He's the one the scripture promised. Right? Have you heard about the Spirit of God coming down on all sorts of people down in Jerusalem, small and great, men and women, young and old? And in the name of Jesus, people are being healed down there, right? A crippled man was made to go walking and leaping and praising God, and you know, people are repenting their sins. They're turning to God, and thousands of our friends down in Jerusalem are calling on this name of this Lord Jesus, and they are receiving the Holy Spirit of God, and the Sanhedrin is just fit to be tied about it, okay? So the people are scattered everywhere. This is what they're talking about, right? This is news. Right, what is the news? Right, what's the word? You know, what are you supposed to go and tell? You're supposed to go and tell about, well, things that have happened, right? Things that God is doing, things that God is revealing, events that took place. So, you know, the incarnation is an event that took place, right? The virgin birth is an event that took place. The crucifixion of Jesus under Pontius Pilate is a historical event. It has a date and it has a place. The resurrection is a historical event with a date and a place, and his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But I have news to tell you from down in Jerusalem. Right? Do you understand where I'm going with this? Right? God has acted in human history to provide us a rescue from death and a place in his kingdom to come. God has long been acting in history to bring about a nation, Israel, through whom he raised up a Savior, Jesus, who was killed and who was raised from the dead in a specific place, in Jerusalem, in the city of David. And it's not our favorite legend, right? It's not a philosophy, and it's not a social message. Right? Well, everybody needs to be nice to each other. We need to get along with each other and learn how to make the world a better place. No, it's a man, right? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, dates, places, times, people, right? These are the things that make up news, right? Spread the word. This thing happened. This event took place. People saw it. People knew Jesus personally. People know the people who were closest to the Lord Jesus personally. This all made big waves in Jerusalem. And so people dispersed in all directions from Jerusalem saying, "Have you heard the news from down in Jerusalem?" Right? Philip goes to Samaria and says, "Friends, there's something you need to know that happened in Jerusalem." Right? You met Jesus, right? Some of you met him. He came through here. Right, some of you got to meet him. You heard about his miracles. Listen, I have some great news to tell you about him. So this is what's happening when it says here that the believers were scattered and they went in all directions, sharing the news, if you like, right? Spreading the word. So do you remember when you were in high school, you probably had at least part of your social studies class or something called current events. This is current events for them, right? Maybe some of you were in school during the Vietnam War. Or maybe current events for you was the the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis and stuff like that, or depending on your age, the space shuttle or 9-1-1 or Saddam Hussein, right? Things you talked about as current events. For them, this is current events. This is the news. And they went everywhere spreading the news, which is what I mean when I say that anyone who knows what the good news is and who has laid hold of it themselves is capable of spreading it, right? What is the gospel, right? Literally, what is the good news? What happened, right? It's stuff that happened in Jerusalem. Christ died for our sins there on a hill outside the city wall. Like, you can point to the place right there in keeping with the scriptures. And he was buried in a place. And on the third day, he arose in keeping with the scriptures. And after that, he was seen. He was seen by Cephas. He was seen by the 12. He was seen by 500. And he ascended into heaven, and they watched him go from a place, right, from the Mount of Olives. You can go there and stand on the place. and God has made him Lord and Messiah. And by faith in his name and by repentance, God Almighty will forgive your sins, your evil ways. He'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he has done to hundreds of others already. God's own life living in your soul. And he'll bestow on you a place in his kingdom, right? His kingdom is, well, that's future news, isn't it? What is prophecy but future news, right? His kingdom is going to come. God's going to restore what was lost, right? The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. What was lost? Well, the world is spoiled. And God has sent a Redeemer into the world. That's the good news. Okay, that's when it says the word here, they went spreading the word, they scattered, taking the word with them. That's the word, right? God has effected a rescue. God is going to rescue men and women from this evil world, right? We can agree, I think, that it's evil, right? The kingdom of God is being offered to men and women in this evil world. The world is passing away, but the true light is already shining. That's a piece of news, right? The true light has already begun shining. That's the good news. That's actually what Christ's resurrection shows. That resurrection is the beginning of the new creation, right? That is God's kingdom breaking into the present age and taking hold now. That's news. I want you to look at, I want to take three verses, 4, 5, and 12. I want you to compare them and put the pieces together. Verse 4 says, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching or spreading the word. Okay, they're telling what happened. 5 says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, which amounts to the same thing, right? Because that's the news, right? That's the word about Christ. If we're preaching something else, then we're not, right? We're not in line with this. And then 12 says, they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And both men and women were baptized, which leads to what? Verse 8. There was great joy in that city. Why? Because such great news. Right? Verse 6 says, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did, and there was great joy in that city. Okay, do you understand how this news, this word, imparts joy? Right? Not just any old word, the word, right? The specific, what's the word? The word is about the kingdom of God, right? The word of Christ, the news. Maybe you haven't heard the news yet, that the kingdom of God is coming close, everybody, and God has opened up a door for you and for me by those things that happened on certain dates in certain places, the things that you can point to. This is God providing a rescue for you and me, deliverance from the evil of this world and all its grief and pain and decay and dying. Right? You want to know what you're supposed to be talking about, telling people about? What are you supposed to be sharing with people? You know, okay, the people went everywhere talking about, well, they talked about something. And then Philip comes, he's preaching about something. What is it? What should be being preached from Christian pulpits? What should be being preached out in any kind of a public assembly? Well, it's not politics and it's not prosperity. The thing being preached should be the kingdom of God. Right? The things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ. Now look, you live in this world. You understand, I think, you don't have to prepare a sermon in order to get this message across. Like I said, anyone who knows what the good news is and who has laid hold of it personally is capable of expressing, putting that into words. Okay, put the verses together again, 4, 5, and 12. Preaching the word, preaching Christ, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, right? You here who have laid hold of salvation, you can do that, right? I don't know how to tell people about Christ. Well, you don't. It's the kingdom, okay? This evil and miserable age is set to pass away. It's destroying itself. The kingdom of God is coming. It's coming to stay. Repent and trust in the Savior Jesus Christ, and it's yours. Now, are you a citizen of that coming kingdom? Right? When the kingdom comes, will you belong to it? Has God given you His Holy Spirit in your heart to testify in your heart that you belong to Him? Okay, you're His child through the redemption that came in Jesus Christ. You can do this. Right? It's actually a simple enough piece of good news to share. This sad world needs some good news, don't you think? Right? And that's what we have. We have good news. We have a rescuer, a redeemer, a kingdom. If you're taking notes, you can write down these four references from Luke. I'm going to give you four references from Luke. Remember that Luke is volume one and Acts is volume two, right? So same author, same objectives, same themes. This is Luke 4:43. Jesus said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to these other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he went preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. He went doing what? Preaching the kingdom of God. That's Luke 4:43. Next is Luke 9:2, where Jesus sent the 12 disciples out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What are they preaching? The kingdom of God. Luke 9:60. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God." What are you preaching? The kingdom of God. And then finally, Luke 16:16, which says that the law and the prophets were up until John the Baptist. Right? The law and the prophets were up until John the Baptist. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached, and everybody is making his way into it. Right? The kingdom of God. Do you hear that? Preach the kingdom of God. That's our message. The kingdom of God. Right? John the Baptist preached, "The kingdom of God is upon you. It's near." Jesus went out, he preached that. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. He sent the 12 out to preach, "The kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent." The believers from Jerusalem scattered in all directions, and they're telling people that very thing, except now they have more information. Right? Philip is preaching this to the Samaritans. You go preach the kingdom of God. It's coming. Right? Actually, it's present already in sprout form in the hearts of those who have the Holy Spirit. Okay, but it's coming. It's coming in all its fullness. Here's a little a thing you can try, I think, if you're looking for a way to broach the subject. Earlier today, we prayed our Lord's Prayer. A lot of people, even in a society where it's not that full of Christians anymore, I think people at least have this in their head. Ask people, what do you think it means when we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come"? Like, everybody knows those three words. We're praying for something. What are we praying for? What does that mean? Ask somebody, what do you think that means when we pray, "Thy kingdom come"? I bet almost everybody's response to that will be, "I don't know." What does it mean? Well, in that case, there's your opening. Okay? You have news, you can tell them, assuming that you know what the news is. Okay? But like I said, if you look, you live in this world, if you look around you today and see what shape the world is in, I don't think it will be that hard of a message to remember if you look at people, their sins, their superstitions, their worries, their lusts, all of the corruption, the lies, the selfishness, the decay. It's all around. It's plain for everybody to see that the world is broken, it's failing, it's dying, it's self-destructing. It needs good news. It needs a fresh start. It needs the power of God. And praise God, He has already made a demonstration of His power by raising up His Son from the dead. Right? And that is exactly what the world needs. It needs life from the dead. It needs peace with God. Okay? And hallelujah, those things have arrived. Right? They've been given. Repent, believe my good news. Right? I bring you good news. Okay? So for people both then and now, whether they're Jewish, Samaritan, or otherwise, People who are stained with sin, they're confused with superstition, they're loaded with anxiety and worry, they're burdened by lusts, they're grieved, they're oppressed, they're facing death. This is joyful good news, right? It's a word of rescue, renewal, restoration. Okay, when we say salvation, this is what we mean. There was great joy in that city, right? Are you joyful, saints? Doesn't it give you some joy to know that there is deliverance from everything that curses the world? Right? God has already begun to make his saving power known in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, right? That resurrection proves God's recreative, renovating power. And this is the witness we have in ourselves, like John says. This is the witness we have in ourselves. God makes all things new. God will make all things new. He's making us new. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, city coming down out of heaven from God. God himself will dwell among men and walk among them and be their God, and they'll be his people, a kingdom of peace and righteousness. And he's already giving men and women a taste of good things to come. Right? He gives us his Holy Spirit as a taste of what's to come. We're already being, I hope you can testify to this, saints, we're already being renovated within and being made fit for that kingdom. Now, if you have not ever known that joy that's described here, the joy of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, listen again. Right? I tell you good news. That believe what I say, right? And respond to it. Obey the good news, the Bible says. God is saving men and women from this sorry world with all of its woes, curses, and sins. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus said, seek it first and foremost, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom and its righteousness. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you will belong to God forever and for always. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Great joy in that city as they discovered a Savior, a Rescuer, a Redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your wonderful salvation, for your promises, not only for things that now are, but especially, Lord, for things to come, an age of righteousness, as we read earlier, a world without pain, without crying, without tears, without wickedness, without death and decay, a world of life, goodness, and praise. We praise you, Lord God, because you take weak, defiled sinners, foolish people, and you turn them into angelic beings fit for the kingdom of God. And we testify, Lord God, that you have laid hold of us, and you have begun that good work in us. Your word says once you have begun that good work, you'll be faithful to bring it to completion. Make us faithful, Lord God, to stay with the program, to put ourselves into your hands, to allow you to do your good work through your word in our hearts. Please, dear Father, receive us into your kingdom, as the thief said. Remember me when you come into your kingdom, and we know that that day soon will come. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Please do your good work in our church family. Renovate, renew, and make us, Lord, well-pleasing in your sight through and through. In Christ we pray. Amen.